Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Jordan River here. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast, and I'm here for Life Vision Month with my father, John Butcher, today. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing so good. How are you, Jordan?
Excellent, excellent. 2019 Life Vision Month. What an incredible year it's been.
Yeah.
What an incredible year it's been for the company and for the podcast. How are you feeling right now?
Feeling amazing. And I think that I feel the same way that everybody's feeling. 2020 is going to be a breakout year. I mean, things are a little crazy in the world right now, for sure. But I think that everybody's just really looking forward to 2020, despite the fact that things are a little toxic and,
totally.
And nutso.
Yes.
You know, our network, all of the people that we hang out with, all of our Lifebook members, I mean, we all have some really, really big plans, big goals for 2020 and some big expectations. So we're ready to rock the new year, man.
That's awesome. I love it. Before we jump into the questions, I had a thought that I wanted to share for Life Vision Month. You know, seeing as how this is the member podcast and everyone has their life vision defined now, I was thinking about something I saw on Facebook, actually. It was a post I saw, and the title of the link was, "You Can't Have It All." And of course, as a Lifebook member, I was a little triggered. I was like, what do you mean I can't have it all? Who says? No, but I clicked on it, and it was actually interesting what they were saying, and I understood what they were saying. Basically, what they were saying is that, you know, if you try to go after these lofty, lofty goals, you can eventually fall short and burn yourself out or all these things, basically justifying how you should settle. And that's the way to a happy life. And there was definitely some wisdom in it, but I was interested in what you thought of this idea. And a bunch of people were commenting like, yeah, I get what they're saying. You know, you can't have it all. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think two things, Jordan. The first thing I think is that it's absolutely a meaningless question to ask. Can you or can you not have it all, unless you're prepared to define your terms, meaning unless you're prepared to define exactly what having it all means to you. And this is the problem that we get into in this day and age. We never friggin' define our terms, so we can be having an argument about something and we're talking about two completely different things because
totally.
We haven't sat down, right? So what does having it all mean? That's what I wanted. So if this guy, you know, I know he wrote a book about you can't have it all. So I'd like to know what he means by having it all, because if he means, well, you can't live in the Taj Mahal and have the body of a 25-year-old underwear model and have the most exquisite relationship in the history of the world and have $1 billion in the bank. And it depends on what his criteria are. I don't know.
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing. Missy and I have been focused for the last couple decades on identifying the most important areas of our life and working really, really hard to master them. And we've made massive progress because of that. When I look at our life right now, Jordan, according to my standards and values, Miss and I do have it all. And yeah, we have our challenges and we have, you know, just like everybody else, we're human beings. That means we're going to have, you know, some pain from time to time and some frustration and some disappointment. That's part of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the work that we've done on ourselves and our life and each other and the support and encouragement and all the love that we're surrounded by, you know, according to my definition, I'm going to push back on you can't have it all. I certainly don't believe that, not the way I define it.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
I totally agree.
The second thought I have is this. You can't just put a label like that on everybody, because the most important thing that we've learned in our 20 plus years of doing Lifebook is that there is no one right solution or strategy or answer
mm-hmm.
for everybody in any area of human endeavor. So you can't just label, you can't have it all for 7 billion people on this planet, or you can have it all.
Right.
You can't just make a big like blanket statement like that, especially if you're not willing to define your terms. So bottom line is I'm sure that that guy's got some good rationale, and I'm look, a lot of people believe that the best way to a fulfilling, peaceful, happy life is to not really engage too heavily in life, to not be too attached to anything.
Yes, absolutely. That's a very valid path for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
It was kind of what he was pointing to. That's a good point.
Right. I mean, it just all depends on who you are. And, you know,
but I would argue that those people do have it all. That's the thing. It's like, I agree with your statements as far as like the truth of the matter, because like, doesn't the Dalai Lama kind of have it all? Like, you know what I mean? It depends on your version of it.
Yes, that is 100% right. I believe that Lifebook members, if they're vigilant at defining their life vision, getting a crystal clear picture of the person that they want to become and the life that they want to live, and then are diligent in moving toward that with intention on a consistent basis, you know, you may or may not arrive at a place where you think you have it all, but I will tell you this, you can certainly have an amazing life and you can improve your current situation. There's no question about that.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I'm all about, is the empowerment. And I'm sure that a lot of that was about managing expectations and all this stuff, but I worry about the disempowerment, because what's the alternative? Even if it wasn't true, I would still want to spend my whole life believing it were. Does that make sense at all?
It makes total sense. And Jordan, you know, when we really addressed this issue was in the second show of Lifebook Mastery, the show on right-sizing your life vision. Mm. We said, in order to have a perfect life vision, you've got to set the bar exactly in the right place.
Totally.
You can't set the bar so low that you're not asking enough of yourself, because that will never activate your power. You'll never brush up against your true potential. If you set the bar too low because you're worried about failure, you're never going to, you know, summon yourself.
Yes.
And see what you're capable of. You also don't want to set the bar too high. And this is the problem a lot of personal development people have, that believe that they can just be, do, or have anything that they want just because they want it.
Right.
That's not the case either. So you're sabotaging yourself if you set the bar too high and set unaccomplishable goals or a vision for your life that's just so far out that you don't have a chance of achieving it. So that's one of the things that takes a lot of thoughtfulness and a lot of consideration. Is where exactly should I set the bar in my life vision to make it achievable, but also to make it fulfilling and exciting when I have it?
Totally.
And so that's one of the things that I feel like we address. We really do.
Yes. And that's why I push back on that statement, because there was a lot of wisdom in what they're saying. And you just addressed a lot of the truth in what they were saying.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, just to kind of put a cap on this, is most Lifebook members that I've met have very achievable, very beautiful, and often simple life visions.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I know quite a few Lifebook members that I would pretty much consider having it all.
Totally.
I mean, again, we all have stress. This is the human condition. If having it all means that you never have any emotions that don't feel good,
right?
Well, then maybe he's right.
Yeah.
If having
sure.
it all means, right, it just depends on how he's defining it.
Right.
But I know plenty of Lifebook members who have made so much progress and who are doing so well in their love relationship and with their health and fitness and in their career and in their financial life. Yes, there's room for improvement, but they're certainly on their way. And I'd almost consider them somebody that has it all. Bottom line is, I wake up every day and I try to be a better person and I try to make my life better so that when my head hits the pillow at night, I can look back on that day and say, I made a little progress today, as opposed to going backwards. If you're progressing in the right direction, you're doing good.
Doing God's work. Absolutely. Let's get into these questions, man. We got a good list here.
All right,
let's do it. First question coming from James. If I want to get really serious about achieving my life vision, what are the most important things to focus on and dedicate myself to?
Man, that is a great question, James. I've done a lot of deep thinking about that. So here's what I would say. The first thing is you have to have a crystal clear life vision, which is why we push for that life vision synopsis so incredibly hard. You've got to think down that life that you want. It's got to be absolutely clear. That is your North Star. You've got to spend as much time as necessary on defining what that ideal life looks like until you have it so nailed that it's a North Star that will draw you forward like a magnet. That's your guide. That's number one, is to know exactly. You can't have it all unless you know what it is. Mm. And so get super clear on what it looks like. What does having it all mean to you? What does it look like to you? Mm-hmm. That's number one. And then the next steps are the Lifebook Mastery steps. Once you're crystal clear on the vision for the person you want to become and the life you want to live, you've got to start setting goals in a structured rhythm consistently against that life vision, because that is what's going to focus your power. That's going to focus your action. That's going to focus your focus, basically. Mm-hmm. And so you do your annual goals, your quarterly goals, your monthly goals, and you make sure that you're giving some serious thought to what you need to do to make that life vision a reality on a consistent basis, and then you're taking action. Number three, align your habits, your daily habits with that life vision, because your daily habits are what is going to turn you into the person that you want to become. Mm. So those 12 sacred choices that we ask you to define during Lifebook Mastery, and then keep track of. You define those habits and you keep track of those habits. that way you can look back and see how you're doing. And then last, you wrap it all in an accountability system where you're tracking and measuring it. You're hopefully declaring your goals to the Lifebook community or an accountability partner, and you're doing what you commit to do. You're doing what you say you're going to do. Accountability ensures that you're going to keep your word, because you know you don't want to be the one that shows up on the call and says, "I didn't get my stuff done."
Totally. But
those are the most important things. Get crystal clear on that life vision, align your goals with it, align your habits with it, and then wrap accountability around it. If you do those things, you cannot possibly fail to make measurable progress towards your life vision every period, every year, every quarter, every month, whatever it is that you're tracking. Those are the most important things in my mind. Those are the tools that Missy and I have used to step into our life vision.
You know, I'm a biased source for sure, but I have to tell you, the golden thread of consciousness theory principle that you just kind of described, the way it's presented in Mastery and the way you go into it is truly one of the most profound, mind-blowing concepts relating to human habits and development that I've ever heard.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate it. The funnel of focus is what you're talking about. Basically, having that vision, getting crystal clear on what it's going to take to achieve it, and then breaking it down until you know what to work on in the next hour to move you toward that. I agree, Jordan. When I look back on my life with Missy, that's been the most profound mechanism, engine to drive us toward our life vision. Again, if you do that, if you, you know, define those foundational goals, the five things that you need to get done to, in order to be living that life vision, then annuals, quarterlies, monthlies, and take action, you can't fail to make meaningful progress.
Totally.
You can't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love when it gets going, because it gets easier and you get momentum. And yeah, that's truly, Mastery has some truly incredible concepts in it. I'm really excited about that.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Good luck to you, James. Let's move on now to the next question coming from Greg. I notice I often have so many things I want to do. Some days I'm very productive. Other days I'm overwhelmed and literally don't do much at all for my goals. I end up feeling guilty and frustrated. Does this come up for you, and how do you deal with it? How do you motivate yourself? Man, this is something I'm going to be really honest. I struggle with this. I can find myself, if I'm not in the right headspace, toggling between doing nothing and feeling horrible about it, and then overworking and only feeling good when I'm overworking. Like this is a real thing. I'm glad that Greg wrote in about this.
I'll say this, Jordan. I think everyone struggles with this.
Right.
I think there's probably a super, super small percentage of people like Tony Robbins who, you know, are just so in the channel, in the accomplishment channel, that they may not have to deal with this, but
right.
I struggle with it, and everybody I know struggles with this. So here's what I have to say. And speaking of Tony Robbins, one of the things that Tony talks about are some people are going toward people and some people are going away from people, meaning you've got to find out what motivates you. I am motivated by what I can get, what I can have, what I can create. My brother Don is motivated by what he will lose if he doesn't take action.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really motivate Don by telling him that, you know, if you do this, you could win big, man, or you could have great things. You got to motivate him by saying, dude, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your shit, right? That doesn't motivate me. I'm not scared of that. What motivates me is this is what you can get if you take action. So one of the things you need to figure out about yourself, and there's no right or wrong about that at all. That's just, Tony points out that, you know, different people have different motivation, positive motivation or negative motivation. So if you're a person like me who is motivated by what you can achieve and what you can get, then I think it comes down to purpose. It comes down to really wanting that life that you've designed so bad that you're willing to take action consistently. Now, that's not always going to work, but as a rule of thumb, it pretty much does. If you're a going away from person, and you need to use negativity to motivate yourself, here's what I have to say. Procrastination sucks so bad. Procrastination is so friggin' painful. I've literally just learned this lesson. Jordan, it's like, you've heard that saying, a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a brave man only one.
Yes.
What that means is, A coward dies every single day because he goes through the fear of dying over and over and over. Where a brave man doesn't have that in his head. He's only going to die one death when it actually happens.
Right.
Well, it's the same friggin' thing with procrastination. Here's the thing that I've just recently really dialed into. I've got a job that's going to take me literally 20 friggin' minutes. 20 minutes of focus. And it's been on my list for 2 weeks.
Right.
And every single day, I guarantee I've fretted about it for more than 20 minutes every day for two solid weeks. It's like, what the hell am I doing? What am I doing?
Totally.
Well, this little friggin' thing is causing me pain every single day. And so I've just like recently this has happened to me. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to attack those things because I'm not going to be a coward that dies 1,000 deaths.
Yes.
I'd rather just go ahead and do it, right?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, if you can train yourself to do that, it gets easier every time. You almost condition yourself to have that response. When you start to procrastinate, you'll eventually go in the other direction.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I believe that. I totally believe that. And I'm pretty good about getting my jobs done. But there are a couple like categories that I have mental blocks against.
The types of work, right?
Like that. Exactly. There are certain things that are hard for me. And that stuff just stays on my list and stays on my list. I look at it every day. I feel bad about myself. I finally, enough, this is fucking ruining my self-esteem. I'm going to put in the 20 minutes. And then you feel so good.
Totally.
Once you finally get it nailed. So here's what I'd say. I'd say that purpose is huge. Purpose can be a massive motivator. And the other thing is, let's just all just completely develop an intolerance for procrastination, because procrastination sucks.
Yes, absolutely, man. That's great. I love that. Good luck to you, Greg. Best of luck, my friend. Let's move on to the next question coming from Stella. She asks, I have aspirations in different categories that seem to conflict with one another. How do we deal with the internal conflict when two categories are not achievable in the same time and space? For instance, the man that I love is in one country, but my job is in a different country far away. I love my job very much, but on the other hand, I feel I'm sacrificing my personal happiness and life feels incomplete without my love life. How do you handle it when category goals may conflict with each other?
Well, that's a really, really great question. You know, Nathaniel Brandon, our mentor of 20 years, probably the most intelligent human being I've ever known. He had a saying, and I've said this 100 times. Everything in life is a trade-off. Everything in life is a trade-off. This is a values decision. So you've got a job that you like in one country and you've got a man that you love in another country. You know, it's a values decision. Do I go with the job? Do I go with the love relationship?
So tough.
Here's the paradox to everything in life is a trade-off. Missy and I don't believe in compromise, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I would never resign myself to those two category goals being incompatible or in conflict to the point where they can't possibly be rectified.
Reconciled, yeah.
No, so yeah, exactly. So it's like, what are the options here? I'm not going to stop thinking about it until I friggin' come up with the plan that makes sense, where I can have my love and my career and my health and fitness, where I can have it all. Sorry, that's my sense of life. That's what I think I was put here to do. So I'm not going to give up. What it takes is you've got to think it down. You've got to take responsibility for the life that you want and figure it out and think it down. Get creative. What have you not thought of yet? Could he move to where you are? Could you move your job to where he is? Could you get another job where he is? Is he the right person for you for sure? Should be, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, but I will tell you this. I would never just resign myself to the fact that I can't have the love that I want and the career that I want at the same time.
Yes.
That's a faulty premise.
I agree with that. And I think that, don't you say you could approach it from two different ways? First of all, the kind of changing reality part of it, like you said, could he come here? But then also the internal side, like, should I change my perspective, you know, and maybe say, yes, I might not be able to have this job, but really start thinking about what you could do, you know, potentially in a different space in an ideal world.
Absolutely, Jordan. Or a long distance relationship might be the thing. And then how do you make that beautiful? How do you make that absolutely incredible? How can he come to you and you go to him?
Right.
And when you're not together, you have FaceTime and you figure it out.
You got to do something. Yeah.
I don't mean to be flippant. I'm not just saying figure it out. But at the end of the day, that really is the mission, is to take responsibility for the life that you want to live and for the person that you want to become, and think it down, be creative,
yes.
Go out there and get some guidance, go out there and get some advice, and good luck. And the one thing that I hope that you don't do is give up on the concept
yes.
that you can have it all. Don't
yes.
do that, because I'll tell you one thing. It's like that Henry Ford quote, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're probably right.
Yes.
So
that
if
applies
you
here for
just
sure.
resign yourself to, I can't achieve this at the same time in the same place, well, then you're done. You're done. So yeah, you're not going to get that.
Right.
But if you approach that problem saying, no, I'm going to figure this out. I love this guy. And I also love my job. There are 100 different options. What are they?
Right.
Good luck.
Good luck to you, Stella. Seriously, best of luck. Next question, coming from Raphael. How often do you need to update your life vision? Once a year? More often or less often? How fast should you move towards your life vision? Big moves and decisions, or a slow growing process?
Again, there's no one right answer to any of those questions. It all depends on where you are. I'll share a few little stories. In 2003, which was 16 years ago, Miss and I started a startup, and it was in the health and fitness space. And we worked for about 2.5 years on it and invested a lot of money into it, and it failed. Well, during that time, I had basically written into my life vision the success of this company, and it was going to propel us to all these places, and
wow.
you know, it was going to be a game changer for
right.
us. Well, 2.5 years later, and that was a hard one, man.
I remember that.
Yeah, having a business fail is probably the most pain that you can experience outside of losing a loved one, having a divorce,
right.
some major accident. I mean, it's like, of the things that don't cause massive physiological
right. no
harm.
No physical harm, zero physical harm, but it feels like you had your heart torn out.
It feels like you lost a kid. And it's so, my God, that was so painful. It took us so long to recover from that. And Jordan, I remember when I finally admitted to myself, this is over. This
right.
is not going to work, right? I paid off all the debt. I just sold the investments that I needed to sell, paid off the bank debt, I did all my, you know, responsibilities and got out of the situation. But then I had to face, I got to get in my life book and I got to extract every single thing about that company out of my life.
Right.
I had to completely rewrite my career chapter. I had to remove it all from my life vision. And that was one hell of a painful process. So sometimes in life, you're going to have a situation that dictates that you've got to rewrite your life vision. It didn't work out, or the opposite can happen. An opportunity comes along. We're like, holy cow, this is big. I'm going to write this into my life vision. That's a perfect time to do a new edit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share one more story, because Missy and I are in such an unbelievable place right now. This is just such an exciting time. About 4 or 5 years ago, we started working on this life vision that we're stepping into right now.
Right.
So it was a 5-year vision in 2015, and it was going to be winter of 2020, January 1st, 2020. We're going to be stepping into a new life vision on the islands. All of our companies are going to be reorganized and blah, blah, blah. This is what our life is going to look like. That was 5 years ago. We wrote that in our life book. Now, usually what I do is I work 5 years out. So in 2015, my life vision was 2020. All my life, it's been 5 years out. So that means 2016, it becomes 2021. Except this time we didn't do that. We kept it 2020. And then 2017 came and it was still 2020. 2018, 2019, and our life vision is still January 1st, 2020, which is now less than a month and a half away. We are literally stepping into this life that we clearly defined 5 years ago. Now, I've tweaked that life vision every year. I've edited it. I've put a little nuance on it, but it hasn't changed substantially in 5 years. And we are about to step across the threshold into that life. So my answer to Raphael would be, it's wherever you are. And sometimes there will be events in your life that are going to cause you to have to rewrite your life vision. Other times there are going to be opportunities that are going to beckon you to rewrite that.
Right, right.
Sometimes all you need to do is a little tweaking. But one thing that Missy and I did consistently over the years, Jordan, is every single December, we focus hardcore on our life vision. And Lifebook members, that's what you should do. This coming December, spend the entire month thinking about and fine-tuning that life vision, identifying your foundational goals, setting your annual goals for 2020. So when January 1st comes, you know exactly what it is you're going to build.
Yes.
You've got your annual goals. You've got your first quarter goals set, and then set your January goals. And when New Year's Day comes, get out of those blocks so friggin' fast that you leave friggin' smoke behind you.
I love it, right? Man. Absolutely.
So December, Missy and I used to take a life vision trip every single year. We haven't done that for a couple years. We have, truthfully haven't needed to. We're so clear on what we're doing right now. But, you know, taking a week, if you can, in December to just go away with your love and just really dial into that life vision is a really great strategy.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That was
a bunch of general thoughts.
But that was great.
The answer to that question is going to be different for everybody. So that's why I just kind of threw some stuff on the table.
No, those are some great strategies for Raphael. And if I can give my take on his question, how often should you update? Once a year, more often, less often, faster, big moves? The answer is yes. Because all those things are good. Yes to all of it, man. You're doing great.
Good one.
We have another one from Raphael. He has another great question. I love this next question, man. He asks,
Raphael is the question king. We love you, Raphael.
Yeah, man. And this one is really, truly, really interesting. How attached or non-attached should you be to the details of your life vision? How open should you be for something else to show up? For example, geographical location, specific job, etc.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. Again, I think that really, again, there's no one right answer to that question. It depends on who you are and what your objectives are. But I will say that one thing that I've learned over the years about working to shape yourself and your life in the image of your values is that it's really a co-creation with the universe, Jordan.
Totally.
You've got to do your part. The universe gave you the gift of life. That was a gift. You didn't ask to be born. But the universe does not owe you an extraordinary life. And the universe is not going to give you a 12-category smart life. Totally. That has to be earned, period. That has to be earned. That doesn't fall out of the sky for anyone, mm-hmm. right? So you got to do your part. But in my opinion, if you get clear on what it is you're trying to do and put some serious effort into it, let the universe know that you're going to do your part, that you're pushing with intention and with purpose from your end. And then if you stay open to the gifts that the universe has to give you along the way, that's the ultimate situation, in my opinion, because this mm-hmm. is a co-creation. I used to think that, you know, you had to do it all yourself. I used to think that it was all up to you. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that the universe, we live in a benevolent universe that is so happy to help us, to support us with our goals and with mm-hmm. our objectives if we do our part. And what you don't want to do is have so much intention and be so wrapped up in the details of your life vision and so have those blinders on so that you're single-mindedly focused to the point where you crowd out
yes.
those gifts.
Right.
The universe, those left-field gifts that you would have never thought of. It's like, oh, I got to build this. I got to make this happen. I got to make this go. Whereas if you just take your foot off the gas for just a minute, the universe may have something in the channel getting ready to come straight at you alleviates all that work and just makes it happen. So I feel like it's a combination of intention and allowing, and we go back and forth. And that, to me, that's the best sort of positioning that I've found so far.
I love that, man. Yeah. And I also think that the definition of the details really does tie in, because let's put it this way. You have to be open to some degree. Some people are much more open than others, right? To letting the wind take them where it may. You know what I mean?
100%.
So
yes.
I think you just have to find your balance, what that is, how attached you are to those details. But
right.
I feel you have to be detached to them somewhat. Everyone does to some degree.
Yeah, no, that's a smart thing to do. You don't want to cling on too tightly. You make bad decisions from that place. That's a scarcity mentality for sure. But at the same time, I know people that are too detached.
Yeah, too whimsical. Sure. Yeah.
Too detached to effectively move toward a life vision with intention. Now, here's an interesting thing, Jordan. Like you said, some people sort of lean toward intention more and other people lean toward allowing more. If you're in a marriage where you're both working on your life vision together, like Missy is the queen of allowing.
Totally.
And I'm the king of intention.
That's a good
right?
point. That's yeah. Those balances will have different dynamics.
That's right. So we divide and conquer. And Missy brings all the intuitive, feminine, you know, all that magic.
Yeah.
Right? And I bring the masculine driving, right?
Totally.
And now obviously she can play both roles and so can I. But when you're in a relationship, you can even push farther out to the edges because you've got two people that are different, that are both working on the same case.
Totally.
So
yeah.
Great question, Raphael. Thank you.
Thank you, Raphael. I look forward to seeing more questions coming in 2020. Next question from Rafael, just one letter off here. He asks, sometimes I get the feeling that I should stop doing anything that is not part of my life vision immediately. For instance, quitting a current unfulfilling job, ending current toxic relationships, things like that. And then I can only focus on building what is really part of my vision, like a big leap of faith into my life vision. I was wondering how risky is this? And also, what has been the experience from John and Missy and life bookers that they know in trying to do something like this?
Okay, that's a great question, Rafael. And again, there is no one right answer to it, but I do have some thoughts. So the first thought is, how risky is it to get out of a toxic relationship? How risky is it to get out of an unfulfilling job? Well, the question is, how risky is it to stay in a toxic relationship?
Totally.
How risky is it to stay in an unfulfilling job? In my opinion, and I said this in the Lifebook program straight up, if you're in a situation like that, I mean, everyone's different, and I would not ever put my stuff on everybody else, but I wouldn't tolerate that for a second. It's way too big of a risk to spend your life doing something you hate doing. It's way too big of a risk to give up on the concept of love because you made a mistake early on and you're in a toxic, unfulfilling relationship, right? But I will say this, Jordan, I'm not risk averse and to a fault. I am an offensive player, not a defensive player.
Right.
The point where, you know, at certain times in my life, I look back and I have appeared reckless to myself.
Right. So take that with a grain of salt. But I think especially when it comes to the relationships, man, jobs get a little bit more complicated, but I'm so right there with you with relationships. It's like, when is it ever a good idea for someone who's being taken advantage of or whatever it is? Like, you have to end that as soon as possible.
Well, dude, it's the same thing, in my opinion, with a career. What kills people is job stress. That's like the more dangerous than smoking.
That's a good point.
You gotta friggin' avoid. So unless you have like seven kids that you've got to feed and you've got this job that you absolutely hate and don't have any other options, I can't imagine very many scenarios that would keep me waking up every day and being a slave to a career that I hated that was unfulfilling.
That's
I can't imagine what would keep me there. Right. But again, I'm set up internally to not be risk averse. I would fight that with every molecule of my being. I know other people that are very conservative and you know, I don't want to just give some flippant advice and say friggin' jump, but I jump. Sorry.
You gotta take where the perspective is coming from, but I'm there with you, man. I gotta agree. That's the thing. So I'm right there with you. And you know, it's really tough because like you said, it's always a balance, right? And the answer may not be to jump if you really think it down hard enough. But if the answer is to jump and after all of your thought and contemplation and reflecting against your life vision, better sooner than later, I feel.
Well, I agree with that, Jordan. And you know, it's interesting because the question that we were just talking about, you know, you've got to do your part. You got to put the universe on notice that you're serious, that you really want this life and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And then you sit back and you take a look at what the universe is willing to do for you and you allow that to happen. To me, it's a little bit weak, just a little bit weak to say, well, you know, I'm going to stay in this messed up love relationship. This toxic, he used the word toxic.
Yeah,
love,
that's a very specific,
stay in this ongoing job for five more years. And then, well, to me, I don't know. I just feel like, and Jordan, I'm not very good at this spiritual stuff, but it's the law that when you give, you receive. That is a law of the universe. Goes around, comes around, right? I mean, there are a million different ways to say that. That which ye sow, ye shall also reap. Every religion has that.
Right.
What you put in is what you get back out. So to me, that's not being very powerful when it comes to putting in. Mm-hmm. And what can you expect to get back out then? So I don't know, man. I would encourage every single person listening to this podcast to go for it, to friggin' go for it, and to just get crystal clear on that life that you want to be living. And start cutting away everything that doesn't fit with that. Why?
Yes.
why wouldn't you do that?
What's the alternative? Right? That's what I've said before. Again, it's like, that's what we're here for, man. That's what's so incredible about the human mind. The one gift that we're given that gives us this like divinity and this power and this extra level of consciousness. Life bookers, that's what they're all about, man, is taking advantage of that and using it to the fullest and not just, I don't want to sound like cynical or whatever, but like not just being a sheep and going through life and winding up where you wind up. Like, no, that's what Lifebook and Lifebook members are all about, is taking control of that life vision and that life path.
That's exactly right. And you know, we can only do that to the extent that we can do it.
Right.
Like we can control everything. We can't control the weather. We can't control events in the Middle East. We can't control the political situation, but we can control the things that we can control.
Yeah.
And that's all we're saying. It's like the Serenity Prayer. You know, God grant me the ability to control the things that I can and the things that I can't, to just, you know, let go and have the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
I love it.
Trying to wake up every day and be better and make our lives better and help each other do that. I love this community, man.
That's what I'm saying. I'm feeling the love right now, man. Like, this podcast has been absolutely insane. The love that we get from the members is incredible. The expansion is crazy. All these different members from different countries.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Really,
it's really
awesome.
Wild. How are you feeling going into 2020 before we wrap it up here? How is Lifebook doing? How are you doing with Lifebook?
I'm absolutely shocked at what's happening to Missy and me right now. I, you know, guys, you do this system for 20 years. You get crystal clear on what it is that you want. You don't compromise, meaning you don't settle. You don't say, well, no, I can't figure that out. I can't have that. And you just keep working the system. And especially, I got to say, you know, to have the support that I have with my unbelievably lovely wife and my incredible family and the amazing business associates that I have in this beautiful community, it's been just extraordinary. But we're getting ready to step into a brand new life vision. The way that we spend the hours of our days beginning January 2020 are going to be completely different than how it's been before. We are stepping into a brand new life, and it was a life that we designed starting about 5 years ago, and every single word of it is coming true and will be true on January 1st, 2020. And the wild thing is, Jordan, I don't even know what to do after that because, no, I'm serious, man, because like this is the ideal life that we've defined, that we've always wanted. I've always had like that carrot out in front of me, right?
Oh no, it'll become clear, man.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in the most profoundly, deeply grateful, thankful, positive way.
Mm.
Is that once I step into that, I'm just going to be there in that present moment, living that life with nothing new, nothing more. I of course have amazing projects inside of that life and doing amazing things, but I just have so much gratitude right now and so much thankfulness for this system and for this community and for my wife and for my family, because this really works. It really does.
It does, man. And we're seeing the reactions too. It's really incredible. So,
yep.
So thank you, man. Thank you for everything. And let's make 2020 an incredible year for Lifebook.
Oh, we
and,
will.
Let's take it over the top, man.
This is one of my favorite times of the whole month when I get to spend this time with you, Jordan.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. This is my favorite. So thank you. And I'm just so excited to get started in 2020. So we'll see. We're coming up with health and fitness in January.
Yep.
So excited for that. You ready for that, man?
I'm ready for that. We're going to do a health and fitness challenge, and we're all going to see if we can get in the best shape of our lives by the end of that month.
Starting the process all over again with you Lifebook members. Thank you so much for spending this year with me. We love you guys so much. Best of luck crafting your life visions, and have a great December as we ramp up for 2021. Thanks for taking the time one more time, man. Thank you so much. I love you and miss you, and we'll see you soon.
I love you, and love you, Lifebook members. Take care, everybody. Been great spending this time with you.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.